Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
Hey, what is up? What's happening? I'm trying to control my nerves. I'm very nervous for this interview. I've interviewed a lot of people, but this one is just, whoa. I couldn't believe it when she accepted my request. It was absolutely incredible. I had to pinch myself. Super excited. And by the way, I picked the title. She's like, that's the title? But today, I interview my wife. She's amazing. So this is a long time overdue. So this person I am bringing out here, she is incredible, beautiful, kind, just literally the best in the world. But she's crushing real estate. And so, you know, she just has a great knack for picking real estate. Well, I've been, you know, head down, you know, working in the business and stuff. Oh, in the background, she's generated millions of dollars in real estate. I don't know how long ago it was, but I think less than a year or right around a year, she got a realtor license and she's moved millions of dollars in like maybe tens of millions at this point in real estate. And so it's just awesome. And I've been requesting to interview her for quite a while and she's been very busy. And so my assistant got with her assistant. It's the same. And we finally coordinated our schedule. We got a babysitter and all. It's amazing. And so please help me welcome the Jessica Higdon. Jess, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm sitting over here giggling. That's hilarious.
Okay. So we're going to start off strong here. Real estate.
By the way, I have no idea what he's going to ask me whatsoever. So this will be fun.
What do you mean? Real estate, coffee, horses, your husband. What is your favorite of that list?
Definitely my husband.
Wow, that was a test. Mm-hmm. And so, Jess.
But I'm more loving to my husband when I have my coffee and I've ridden a horse and I've wrote a contract. So.
True. This is true. There's a few wives on here saying coffee rating higher than husband. I got it. So Jess, when did you first know you loved real estate? Because I know you love real estate. You love looking at it. You love, like, you know, as soon as we like have purchased a home, which we've now, what are we on? Is this our third home you bought
together?
Yeah.
No, it's way more than that. I think it's five.
Well, I mean that we lived in. I know we flipped you flipped a lot of different things, but the question is, when did you know that you loved real estate?
So really when I was little, and I think if you're
out there, age or in height?
I'm still little in height, but thanks for that.
Oh,
is this how this whole interview is going to go? If it is, like, I'll go do something else.
Wow. Whoa.
So, when I was little in age, I would go look at houses with my mom. And if those of you who know my backstory, you know, my mom was, she became mentally ill for a time. And so our house was not stable all the time. She was great mom, did her best, but our home was very unstable. And so whenever I would go look at real estate with her, I would imagine a whole new lifestyle and a whole new transition and new journey. And so it was really, really fun for me. And I remember walking into a property with the realtor there and my mom saying, and I don't even know how old I was at this point, but it's one of my youngest memories. And my mom saying, oh yeah, she loves real estate. And the realtor saying, well, maybe one day she'll be a realtor. And I kind of like got all giddy inside, like, yeah, maybe one day. And then, you know, in our other business, Ray would start, he would catch me like late at night. You would catch me late at night. I'm saying it like you're not interviewing me. You would catch me late at night looking at properties and just, I could literally get lost in it for hours. So that's really where it started.
That's awesome. There's a question from the audience that is, does your husband make you coffee every morning? The answer is yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I don't think, did someone really ask that?
Someone did ask it. Look, Joan. Put me on the spot.
Oh, wow. Okay, but he does. He does.
And I make her s'mores many nights as well. Anyway, so you just really have a good knack. You've flipped, Naples condo. You flipped a condo in Sanibel. You flipped, we sold cabin up in North Carolina. Like, what... When you look at real estate, what are you looking for? Like, what are the things that says, ooh, this is a good deal? Because you've done, not just as a lister or marketer of real estate, you've been a great investor as well. Because we've done very, very well in real estate, thanks to you. And literally, I mean, I never even saw the last one. In fact, I did see the other one. I never saw the last one that you flipped. And so literally you 100% you picked it.
Did you ever see Sanibel or?
I think I went there once to like move something. So several of the things that you've sold, I had nothing to do with at all. And so like when you look at real estate, what are you looking for? Like what's as an investor first, let's talk about that.
So a couple of things. Number one is location. And so a lot of people get excited about how real estate has been going, right? Which is great, but nothing lasts forever. And so the amazing thing about real estate is that over longer periods of time, it's outperformed many, many major assets. And is, as many of you know, if you have the fortitude to hang in there, it's an amazing cash flow investment, but also an amazing way to create wealth. But people get excited when everyone's buying everything, everyone's renting everything. And so they start going to locations that they think are going to be up and coming. Okay. And while that can work out very well and has for many people, it's still more of a risk than I'm willing to take. Because if you look at, for instance, 2008, and you look at the markets that took the biggest hit, it's the up and coming markets that hadn't quite made it yet. And I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but in no way, shape or form do I think that we're in a 2008 type of situation. But if it's close to a lot of cool stuff, or at least close to enough cool stuff, has amenities, you know, that's number one. Like, it's got to be near things and people, right? Number two is that I look for something, and this is even more true today than it was back when we first started investing, is that I look for something that needs a little bit of work that people can't see past, but I'm not going to move walls. That's just not my thing. I don't really want to move walls. I don't want to completely change over the space, because most people who start in that world, they end up breaking even, or they lose money because they find a lot of surprises, unless you've done it many, many times and you have the right subs and you have all of the right people. And so for me, that's really not the low hanging fruit. For me, it's, and I have great subs now that I've developed. However, I still, especially in a market like this one, I love to find something that maybe needs countertops, paint, staging, floors. Maybe the outside needs to be painted. Maybe it even needs a new roof. Maybe just changing the roof would change the whole outlook of the home. And you would be shocked at how much landscaping makes a huge difference and can be super inexpensive. And so those are the things that I look at that a lot of buyers can't see past. And if you know how to kind of in your mind put together, wow, this would be an amazing property if we did this, this, and that, it can be really simple and your turnaround is quicker, and you can make a lot of money.
Nice.
So location, little bit of upkeep. And then, of course, know your numbers. So understand what the comps are, what the comparable properties are, what they've sold for, what's on the market now, what's not selling. Just be smart about it. Don't go into something with an emotional feeling of, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Which, by the way, I've gone off emotional feelings before. I'm not against it. If you feel really in your gut and your heart of hearts that this is a great property, then I'm not going to tell you not to do that, because sometimes logically it doesn't make sense and it works out. But I still, even when I have that feeling, I'll still go back to, do the numbers make sense? And if they make absolutely no sense whatsoever, I'll have to weigh that option and say, okay, do I feel really good about this property because this is going to be something for our family down the road that's really good for us? Or do I feel really good about it as an investment? And either way, you know, okay, if I'm putting money into it, I may break even, I may lose, but I'm okay with that, or I may do really, really well. And that's with the North Carolina property, the numbers still made sense. But when I walked in, I just knew. I was like, okay, this is great for our family. This is a great investment. This area is going to do really well. I just knew. So there's kind of that gut feeling too that you have.
Yeah. So before, you know, network marketing training and everything, that's what I did. I did real estate, right? And you know that. And I still remember my favorite, this was more of a cash flowing deal, more of a rental property kind of deal. But I still remember my favorite deal. My favorite deal was, it was two triplexes. We got them both for $198,000 total. We got them rented to $800 a month each. So it was $4,800 a month in rental income at 198, you know, investment. It was a no-brainer. It was amazing. What, looking back, and maybe it's just the number, like whatever made the most, I don't know. Is there a favorite deal of yours? Like, either was it a house that we lived in? Was it an investment property? Is there a favorite deal that you look back and be like, oh, that was pretty sweet?
Yeah. Our downtown Naples condo, in our area, like, we didn't even have to close on it. And, I had negotiated to, broker the contract. I don't even know what it's called, but just switch out the contract, sell the contract, transfer the,
it's basically, I don't know if it was technically an assignment, but they bought
assignment of contract.
Yeah. Assignment of contract. And what, so, this was a pre-construction condo.
So I walked in. I walked into an open house with a friend of mine, and
of ours. But go ahead.
A friend of ours, yeah, of ours, a friend of ours. I have to remember who's interviewing me. Sorry, I just say these things. So I walked into a an open house with a friend of ours, and just for fun. And I was telling her kind of what I was looking for. And she's like, oh, I have this amazing project. And I looked at it, and it was the only building that was zoned for nightly rentals at that time in downtown Naples. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, okay, there's going to be certain people who don't like this, right? But there's going to be a lot of investors and people who do. And I actually love pre-construction because although there's a bit of a risk with, you know, if it's years out, you don't know what the market's going to do and everything. But as they sell more, the price automatically goes up. And so I really like pre-construction because there's not a lot you have to do except just wait. And if you're early and you see the vision of the area, then it usually works out. So anyway, it was zone nightly rentals. It was brand new in an amazing location. And the prices shocked me, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't crazy for that area. So I was like, okay, because it was so new. So I was the first one to sign on a contract.
Just talk numbers, because people like to hear numbers. Like,
what, okay, so it was 80,000 or 40,000, if I can remember, for a studio. Okay. So it was like a one bedroom with a kitchenette type of setup. It was a little more than a studio. I think it had like a little den or something like that.
Or something.
But it was 700,000 for a one plus a den. And I saw that, and it was almost 1200 square feet. So it was a larger type of condo. And so
So for some people, you know, your numbers are going to be a little different, aren't they? Right. You know, this is close to downtown Naples. So this is, you know, not, I mean, now it's way, way more, but this was, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah. I mean, had we held on to it, probably would have been an extra like $500,000, but hey, I'm happy because we literally put all the risk on somebody else and made a bunch of money. So it was 700,000 for a one bedroom plus a den. Now the den was big enough to make into a two bedroom, where if somebody wanted this as an investment, they could put in, you know, bunk beds, they could sleep more people. And as many of you know, the name of the game is how many people can you sleep, right? So I thought, okay, for an extra basically 100 grand, you're getting a way more desirable unit. And so a lot of people look at the cost and say, well, I'll just go for the lowest. But it's really how much can you make? And if I had gone for the lower price point, we wouldn't have made nearly as much money. And so before it was about 3 months before it was done, the project was done. So I got the contract put down. I think it was something like 75,000 or 100,000. And some of you don't have that to put down. And you don't necessarily have to. Every deal is completely different. That's why I highly recommend talking to a mortgage broker, talking to, if you want to go the hard money route, you can talk to a hard money lender, private money. There's so many options and there's so many programs now. So you don't have to put that down, but that's just what we did. And then about 3 months before the project was complete, I asked the builder, I went directly to the agent and the builder and I said, hey, I know that things are skyrocketing. Would you be okay if we sold this before it was done and assigned the contract? And they said yes. And so we ended up with a $270,000 profit and I didn't even close on the property. So again, it's about desirability. And if you have something that's in a desirable location and you can minimize your own risk, like that's a win-win.
For sure. For sure. And so now you've been doing a lot. From my observation, and I'm not in, you know, your day to day, you know, all the time or whatever. But the two things that I see you doing a lot is you're helping people buy investment property, you know, in, you know, the Florida area. And two, you've been helping people that want to, you've been helping sell luxury homes. And so we have, you know, several, you know, friends or clients that have listed their homes in either Lauderdale or Naples or whatever. And so talk about, what do you like about that?
About which part?
About working as a realtor, like what, okay. What do you like about working as a realtor?
So I didn't think that I would like it, to be honest with you, because it's a lot of work. I mean, those of you who are realtors, you know, but if you're not in real estate and you've just used a realtor, you have no idea the amount of work, the amount of study, the amount of intricacy and detail that a real estate agent really has to know to protect you. And so I didn't think I'd like it, but I did a reel on this and I kind of just went into it with the mantra, everything is figure outable. And so I'm at least going to give it a year and just see what happens. And I asked God also, I said, God, open the doors to, or keep the doors open that are meant to be open and bring in the floodgates. If it's my path, if it's your will, then bring in the floodgates. And if not, then close those doors. So bring me the right people, put me in the right situations where I can prosper and flourish and help people. And just kind of left it at that and thought, okay, well, if things happen in this, like really, really prayed about it and said, if things happen in this realm, then that's what I'm meant to do. And if they don't, then maybe I'm just meant to stick to the investing side. And thank goodness I have my license, because, you know, we make a lot more money that way. And when I tell you he opened the floodgates, like he opened the floodgates. Within 3 weeks, I had way more business than I could even handle. And it's not that I hadn't done the work, because I had done the work, but I didn't reach out to these people necessarily in that moment. They were coming to me. Yeah. Just because of me sharing, you know, my passion around that. So as I started working through different situations and helping people, I realized that actually this is exciting and fun. And if you're with the right people, and we're blessed so that I can work with the people I want to work with, and I can say no to those that don't. If this is your bread and butter, and this is all that is keeping you, your family together, it's a really, really tough business. However,
some people abuse realtors. I mean, some people are just like, you know, mean to them.
Well, just, yeah. What I was going to say is, however, if you set your boundaries, then it's the best business in the world, but you have to set boundaries. I mean, if somebody is not right for you, like either refer them to somebody who you feel like they would jive with, or just don't take the business. And that's something that I know a lot of realtors have learned the hard way. And it's great that I'm not afraid to, and you shouldn't be either, to collaborate and work with other real estate agents or with other people in your field. Because, like, for example, I'm in the middle of a very big deal right now where the seller is a little more difficult, and it's a large property, like money wise. And
it's a $9 million deal.
It's a $9 million deal. And the seller's a little quirky. And so, but the great thing is, right? No, but she's great. It's been a little bit of a back and forth, right? Which we'll get it done. But the great thing is I partnered with someone who knows her directly, who understands the way that she thinks. I'm not afraid to maybe sacrifice a little bit of upfront money to learn, to bring more value and to leverage more of my time over the long run. And so, because I know that's going to bring in a lot more. I even said on this deal, just to give you guys perspective, I said on this deal, hey, to get this done, I'm willing to remove some of my commissions but I want to be guaranteed the listing. And so it's a lot. And so when they build on it, this lot, it's in one of the nicest areas of Naples by far. Yeah. And so when this is done being built, and like, trust me, this is not typical, but when it's done being built, it'll be like a $20 to $27 million property. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll remove myself from the front end. So on the back end, you give me that listing. So just thinking a little differently like that.
Yeah. Let's say that someone is on here and they're wanting to sell their house, and other than, because I assume one of your suggestions would be, you know, find a realtor, right? But like, what are when it comes to maybe staging, or, you know, any suggestions around that? Because I've always, you know, I've seen you stage houses and you do very particular things, and, you know, it really makes them look better. And so, like, what are some of those tips of someone's on here, they're thinking about selling their house? Like, what would your advice be?
Definitely karate chop your pillows.
Oh, major key.
Big deal. Ray always makes fun of me for that. But But women like it. They like the karate chop pillows. Isn't that right, ladies? I know you love the karate chop pillows. You just the personal photos, you know, try and remove as many of those as you can. Just very clean and free of clutter.
So, just not to skip over that. Why is that important? So you take down the family photos and things like that. Why is that important?
You know, some buyers like it, but most buyers can't visualize past what they see.
Yeah.
And so if they don't have a family or they don't have, they're not in your exact situation, then them looking at those pictures, they may think, this is who lived here before me. I don't know. Like maybe they see something in the picture and they're like, they have a dog. Like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, it's just different things like that. And they can't visualize themselves in the home. And then just clutter wise, like free of clutter, as much as you can get all the tchotchkes, all the collectibles, all the house plants, all of that stuff off of the counters and just make it look model-esque, the better you're going to do. And not all the time, right? But I'll say it this way. It's not that it won't sell. It'll sell. There's always a buyer. It's that it'll sell much quicker because people can visualize themselves in the home.
Yeah. And what tips for curb appeal?
Well, it really depends on the home, but if you can have a nice lawn, like simple, just a nice lawn, like just do the grass. That definitely helps a lot.
you would think that that's common sense, but.
Well, and some people live up north, right? So it's a little different. You know, you can't do your grass because there was just snow. So, but I'm talking in my market, like just keep your lawn nice. That's pretty much what you need to do for curb appeal. If you can keep your driveway looking clean, your lawn nice, maybe put some flowers in the front, just make it look beautiful.
Wilbur asks, how does current market figure into starting in real estate these days? So I'm going to guess he's talking about like inflation, market weirdness. Is this do you feel this is a good time for real estate? Not a good time?
So, I mean, one of the greatest combatants against inflation is real estate, if you look historically. And nobody has a crystal ball, right? But here's what I can say is that one of my friends who she brokers institutional money. So basically, you know, you have a financial planner that takes people's money and invests it. She takes institutional money like banks and different large companies' money. And she invests and she helps broker with other hedge funds to invest money. And so she's really in the know of what's happening and what's going on. And she said one of the best places right now is in real estate investment trusts, which are like REITs. If you don't know what that is, don't go down the rabbit hole. Just ask somebody who's qualified to know. But it's basically a fund for real estate, right? And just keeping your money in cash. And so if you can create cash flow through properties, like that is an amazing way to hedge inflation because people always need a way to live. They always need a place to live. And maybe, maybe the market value of the home goes down. But if you know that there's a demand and it's in a good location and you've got it staged properly and there's a demand, there's always going to be somebody who's willing to pay for it. And also, there's always going to be somebody who needs a place to live and can rent it out. So, nobody has a crystal ball, but I would say that real estate, especially in times of inflation, is one of the things that you actually have in front of you that you can see, that you can touch, that you have. I mean, ask Grant Cardone. He's obviously talking about this all the time. And that will provide you with that cash flow that maybe other things wouldn't. If you think about other investments and they've been great over time, but it's a computer screen. Like you don't, if you have $1 million invested in the stock market, let's say, that's numbers on a computer screen. Do you have the $1 million right in front of you? Do you have that money under your mattress? No, it's a number on a computer screen. So for me, just, and I'm actually really simple. Like, I think in a very simple, low tech type of way. For me, I love that it's something I can feel, I can touch, and there's always somebody who wants to buy it.
Nice. Shay is asking, and Shay's the realtor, what do you think is the best way to get new clients in today's market?
Personal relationships.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients have come from my sphere of influence, and I've been using Facebook ads to get to remind them and remind the community, like, hey, I'm here, you know, but yeah. At the end of the day, a lot of them probably wouldn't reach out to me unless I built those personal relationships, because there are a lot of realtors. There's a lot of realtors. There's a lot of good ones, a lot of new ones, a lot of just realtors in general. And so it really comes down to how many people do you have a relationship with, going to the events, like even connecting on social media is great, but eventually connecting on the phone, especially for real estate. Real estate's a very emotional transaction, as you know. And so it's not comparable in my eyes to network marketing in that way, because, you know, if somebody wants to try a great product, they're going to do that if they maybe don't know you as well, right? But they're not going to go buy a $500,000 house from you if they don't know you from Adam.
Yeah. We've had some different Airbnbs. What are some lessons you've learned by having rentals? I mean, I have very different lessons because mine were all low income, ghetto. You know, so I like, you know, there were times when we would kick out someone and they poke holes in all the walls, they smash the toilets with, you know, sledgehammers. So like, you haven't dealt with that kind of stuff. You know, like we had some intense situations when I had rental properties. What's some things that you've learned by doing more of the upper end Airbnbs?
Just that have good beds. So have good beds. That was a big learning lesson for me. Like I wasn't going and testing out like all the beds, but that's a big deal for people, especially if they're paying a higher price.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like they have
really, if they don't sleep good, then they're not happy.
Yeah, like the place can be pristine, but then your bed suck, like they're not going to want to come back. But you know, try and create your core group of people. So whether that's a management company that's doing it for you, as long as you still cash flow, that's the route I would go 1,000% of the time. But then my first real estate mentor, he likes to manage them all himself, and he can do that. We have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old and a Higdon Group business, and I don't want to do that. And so if I can still cash flow it, then I'll find a company that.
So you work that into your numbers, and you know, and if the numbers don't work with a management company, then you don't buy it. Is that right?
For me, but if you want to do it yourself, or just find your good people, your cleaning people, you know, your maintenance people, find some good people, and then it's really not as bad as you would think. Because I get it. When I first started, I was so nervous about like, oh my gosh, what if they don't like this? Are they going to be nice? Are they going to be nasty? Are they going to call me all every 2 seconds? You know, what if they think that this isn't okay? And just all the things that go through your head. But at the end of the day, it's most people are really cool. And if they're not, like, it's not a big deal there. That's why I like short-term rentals, honestly, because then they're out of your life in a few days or a few weeks. But
got a good question. Our friend Jerry is saying, I'm scared to rent out our daughter's home. Any advice on that? So he's nervous about renting it out.
What are you scared of?
Jerry responded, he's just nervous of destruction. He's nervous of renting it out, and then someone gets in there and breaks stuff and is, you know, throws a big party or something like that. Like, you know, how can you either prevent that or make yourself safe if that happens?
Well, I would do, personally, I would do like 3 to 7 day minimums on your rentals, because that prevents that quite a bit. But also there's insurance, you know, you can get insurance for that. And it happens. It's it's not ultimately preventable in every way, shape, or form, but it happens. And if you're dealing with really high end, there's companies that will manage that for you, that actually do the insurance and all of that for you. And so they know that, like, a lot of their customers that rent from them know that they have insurance because they have to sign something. And so they'll say, hey, we broke this, because they know that it's covered by insurance. Hey, sorry, this, and I wasn't covered by insurance with some of the properties, and still the people came to me and said, hey, you know, by the way, we broke this coffee table. Can we, you know, Venmo you some extra money or whatever? So most of the time people are pretty good, but yeah, you occasionally have those people, but do a 3 to 7 day minimum if you're concerned about that.
Yeah. And so, so I put down at the bottom, HigdonGroup.com/Jess, who should reach out to you? Like who are you looking to help? Who are you looking to connect with? Who can you help?
Well, so if you are like, hey, I want to learn real estate investing, but I have literally never bought a property and I don't know where I stand, like with a mortgage broker or financially of what I can even get, it's probably not the time to reach out to me just yet. If you are ready to start investing and you know where you stand financially, I can help you with that. Or if you're looking for just, you know, a second home or something that you're really wanting to have for your family, or you're looking to move here, or you live here in Southwest Florida, then I can definitely help you with that. But I can also help you wherever you are in the country, because I have people placed all over, you know, depending on where you're at, that can help if it's not my specific market. But if you're ready for diving into real estate and you've talked with a financial person or mortgage broker, or you're doing cash, and you know where you stand, then I can help.
And you can do that. Should they go to HigdonGroup.com/Jess or somewhere else?
So that's a form that you can fill out that kind of lets me know where you're at, what you're thinking. But if you want to email me, it's just Jessica@HigdonGroup.com. You can also do that, or Facebook message me, whatever works.
Okay. And last question. What was your favorite, since we touched on this so little, what was your favorite coffee you've ever had?
In London, when we stayed at Hotel 41 in London. Best coffee ever,
man. You really remember that?
Yeah.
Well, better you liked it better than the cappuccinos in Italy?
Yeah, I definitely liked it better than the cappuccinos in Italy. However, the coffee in North Carolina was probably a very, very close second.
What was it?
Gamekeepers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, the correct answer is the coffee my husband makes me every morning. But, you know, it's fine.
That's what I was thinking in my head, but I thought people would be like, not again.
Awesome. Well, you have been the most beautiful guest I've ever had.
Wow.
And the smartest and just kindest of every guest I've ever had. And so I'm just very grateful for your time. Thank you for making this happen. And I love you very much.
Thank you for having me. You've been the most handsome and most thorough and humorous interviewer I've ever had. So
very nice. Very nice. Jessica Higdon, everyone, drop her some love. Give her some likes. Feel free to share this if you know someone that would get a benefit. Mark Harbert says, get a room.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day. And for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.